All right. Good to have you here tonight. We're going to begin on Baptist history. And you might just go ahead and turn over to Exodus 13, although that is, because of the way it's in here, it's going to come up on the board in a little bit. But I don't have a start verse, actually. But Exodus 13 and verse 3 is going to be the first verse we're going to get into. We're studying Baptist history. Now, so far we studied Baptist distinctives, and that was a good study. And then we went to the acrostic pastors and used that and went more into depth in Baptist distinctives with the acrostic. Now we're going to begin the meat of the Baptist history. We're going way back. And actually, the title, the main theme for this lesson is remember. Remember, we go all the way back. You know, throughout the history of man, around the world, there's been events that evoke a cry to remember from the heart. You know, we see this most recently enacted on the anniversary of September the 11th, 9/11, and when the terrorists destroyed the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And one of the great rally cries of that is, we remember. We remember. We refuse to forget that. That could be said of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, of the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that ended World War II. There were times throughout history that many could recall and hear those words, remember. Of course, one of the greatest in our part of the world is remember the Alamo. Huh? And we have enough Texans to think of that fairly often. So God's Word has numerous reminders to remember. And we're going to start with Exodus 13 and verse number 3. In Exodus 13 and verse number 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. By the strength of hand, the Lord brought you out. And God's people need to remember how God, in His strength, has brought us out of bondage, you know. And He brought, the example, of course, is He brought Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. But He also brought us out of the bondage of sin. And it's something for us to remember. God wants all of us to love Him and to love His history. We say the term history is His story. How He delivered His people. The next verse to think about is Exodus 32 and verse number 13, where God's Word says, remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants. And we see from that God's people need to remember the great heroes of the faith. To remind us that He's always used repentant sinners to accomplish His work. And it leaves hope for us, doesn't it? That He uses repentant sinners to do His work. The heroes of the faith in the Old Testament and the heroes of the faith in the New Testament. But we need to remember more than that. We need to remember the heroes of the faith even down to today, don't we? Right. And we see many heroes of the faith, people who stand and proclaim the Word of God and the truth of God, and who stand on the Word of God no matter the cost to themselves, and great heroes. Thirdly, David said, I will remember the work of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, in Psalms 77:11. And so we see that God didn't stop And David said to remember the works of the Lord, his wonderful works, and God's not dead. He's not asleep. He's not impotent. He's doing wonderful works even today. I mean, we just think of the last few weeks here, but you could go clear back actually to about a week or so before I went to Ireland, when it seemed like things really began to bounce around, and then the people that were saved and baptized while we were gone, and then since we've been back, and what a wonderful thing God's been doing, and God's works are still great today. They're still great. God wants us to remember His wondrous works and what He's done and what He is doing. When the New Testament deacons were brought before the Sanhedrin to defend against the charge of being a Christian, when the New Testament deacon, I should say, not deacons, defend the charge against him of being a Christian, he didn't tell the religious accusers that the history of God's dealings with his people was dull and boring and unimportant and irrelevant. No, Stephen went back in history nearly 2,000 years ago to describe, he says in Acts 7:2, God of glory appearing unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, and then he walked them right down the age until they murdered Christ. And that's when they got mad at him and gnashed on him with their teeth and stoned him to death. But he wasn't ashamed of the history of God. He described how God worked in the lives of people. And that brings us to a good question. If you had to defend yourself today against the charge of being a Christian, could you go back in history 2,000 years and describe God's wonderful works for the last 2,000 years? I mean, even in short form, as Stephen did, you know, it's just one major part of a chapter there. But he got the point across, didn't he? Or based on your testimony, would your accusers conclude that God was either dead or asleep or impotent? You know, they used to say if you were charged and put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you? And that's a pretty good statement. We're going to look at, just for a few minutes tonight, we're going to look at this thought right here. From whence come the Baptist? Where do we come from? Where do we start? And we're going to be walking down through this line for weeks and weeks and weeks. So where do we come from? And can we trace ourselves, you know? And there are some who think the Baptist started in the 1600s. I mean, that's their belief. Of course, they're wrong on other things too, but we want to go back. Where did the Baptist originate? How can the Baptist be identified? Who started the Baptist Church? And can it be identified through the centuries since it was started? And those are good questions. Questions for us to look at in depth as we're studying Baptist history. And in doing that, we find ourselves something to stand on, something to believe in, something to hold us up. And when the trials of this world, when the devil, when situations get a hold of us, we can go back and just realize that Baptists have been trusting in God down through the centuries, and we can still trust in Him now. So the answer to the questions, of course, has to start with, well, who else? John the Baptist. Now, I know people who say, no, that's really John the Baptizing One or John the Baptizer. Well, you call him what you want, but God called him John the Baptist. He's the only person that God ever called a Baptist. Therefore, a serious student of Baptist history needs to carefully examine the characteristics of John. And we're not going to do all of that tonight, but we're going to give a little start here and then do some other things, and then we'll get back to John the Baptist next week in depth. John the Baptist, the only person that God ever called a Baptist. I did say that, didn't I? Number two, he's the first to use the mode of baptism that makes us be called Baptist. And the baptism by immersion, and a good idea on a baptism by immersion, being the word that they transliterated because they didn't want to translate it. Because if they translated it, it would make a lot of people wrong and a lot of people mad. The word baptizo actually means to immerse, to submerge, to put under. And it's safe to keep them under because it doesn't say you have to bring them back out. The word itself, I mean, baptism. And so the Baptists are the first to use the mode. And John the Baptist baptized by immersion. And we've seen that throughout the scriptures that it continued from him. Number three, he gives a key for understanding spirit baptism. And with that key, the explanation of what really happened on the day of Pentecost in regard to the New Testament church. And so we're gonna look at that. We're going to see that from the gatherings of John the Baptist, Jesus brought forth the officers, the first officers, the apostles of the first church, the Baptist Church, and it continued on. We're gonna see all that as we go. Number four, the Baptists have always had a grand history. However, identifying them hasn't always been easy. The reason it hasn't always been easy is because many times the Baptists have been forced to go underground. And we identify them not by the names they were called, because they were called by many different names. Most of them not given by the people who were involved in it, but given by other people. Just as our name Baptist, we did not a group of people didn't gather one day and think, well, I think we'll be called Baptist. No more than the people in Antioch gathered together and said, I think we'll be called Christian. We were named by others, and they were named by others. So how do you follow them? Well, you follow them by what they believed. By what they believed. And so it's not always easy to find them, but you can find them. You can find them meeting. You can find them teaching and training and preaching and winning souls, and then you can see them due to persecutions and stuff go underground, but then the next thing you know, you find another group coming out that is the same group, because they still believe the same things, they still teach the same things, they still do the same things. And my college professor said one time, when you rattle a chain on one end and it rattles on the other, that means it's connected all the way through. And so a pretty good statement there to make us understand how that works. B in my outline says, the study of Baptist history identifies distinct characteristics. distinct characteristics. These characteristics are gleaned from the life of John the Baptist in order to render, or in order for the reader, rather, to identify Baptist. Here they are. Number one, these characteristics are distinct to Baptist. Now, there are many other groups that have some Baptist distinctives, but true Baptists have all the Baptist distinctives. So they're characteristics that are distinct to Baptist. B, the characteristics help identify Baptist. They help to identify. And when you see somebody that believes these things and teaches these things and follows these things, they're Baptist. And then C, these characteristics historically follow Baptist. You can trace them. Now, it should be noted that as a group and individuals are identified, not everyone in any given historical group has all the characteristics. And it's just like Baptists today. You know, many carry the name of their group or of Baptist in general, but they may have removed from some of the historical Baptist characteristics. And we have to watch for that, you know. That's why we need to be careful in what we believe and what we stand for and what we do. Many, you know, they begin to drift away in this area and drift away in that area. And, of course, the most recent drifts we've seen have been in the Bible and in the types of music and things like that Baptists are turning to, and even amongst our own. And so it's something we have to be careful with as Baptists. The study of Baptist history reveals they've always had enemies of their faith and practice. It's just like Jesus. You read the story of Jesus, do you ever wonder why people got mad? I mean, they got mad at him for healing a withered hand. They got mad at him for causing a blind man to see. They got mad at him, even for raising Lazarus from the dead. Why would you get mad at somebody for doing good? But don't we find the same thing today? Don't we find ourselves at battles today and you wonder, why? Answer this for me just out of common sense, not out of political sense, out of common sense. Why would you want to take the Ten Commandments off a school wall where a kid can walk up and read and see that it says, thou shalt not steal? What, are you mad because he's not a thief? You want him to be a thief? Thou shalt not kill? And then you wonder why they bring guns to class? Well, you took the commandment down. You know? Honor thy mother and thy father. I mean, those are terrible things. Those are wicked, wicked, wicked things. We can't have those in our school, on our courtyards, in our courthouses. We can't have that. My goodness. It'd make us think we have to act right or something. Like we have to treat other people right or something. I mean, you stop and think. Just using common sense, not political sense, you know, I realize that it makes some people mad that God says that homosexuality is an abomination. I understand that. They don't like that because it stabs them where it hurts. But listen, I preached or taught in Sunday school on modesty Sunday, and I wouldn't doubt that I made some people mad. It doesn't change the fact that we ought to be modest. Right. I mean, You know, I mean, when we look to the scriptures, there's always some that don't like it, you know. But sin is still sin, and righteousness is still righteous. And so Baptists have always had the battle. We've always had the battlers, the enemies. Some of the enemies and their positions and practices are clearly identified and documented for us to see in the scriptures from where they were, a friend or a foe of the Baptist. The study of Baptist history reveals strengths and weaknesses in Baptists. And we'll see those. We'll see those. The Baptists of Europe form the basis of the Baptists in America. And the Baptists in America are an importance to the heritage and continuation not only of American Baptists, and I'm not talking about the association, I'm talking about Americans that are Baptists, but also because of our country's influence on the rest of the world. A study of Baptist history is going to bring out the reality of individual lives as Baptists. They were forefathers to the Baptists of today, and they're important to us. Next week, we'll take John the Baptist, and we'll begin to look at what he taught, what he believed, what Jesus said about him, all of the things that made John the Baptist the Baptist, and we'll see those next week. And forefathers that tell us where we stand today, their humanity, their personal struggles, their sacrifices and persecutions, they're documented in the Word of God, and down through the ages they've been documented to the stands that have been made that brings us down with the rights and things that we have today. They've been put in order to push us to move the gospel of God and to show the way of the Lord and how it moves in the lives of men and women. Baptist history. It's important to us. It's important to us, and that's why we're studying it. The conclusion says the study of Baptist history can give the student a great appreciation for the Baptist heritage as an important story to pass down to following generations. By sharing insights into the heritage of Baptists, we can gain a greater understanding of who and what Baptists have been and should be today. And so we'll really begin to delve in. We'll deal with at least 1 week in John the Baptist. Then we'll go into the apostles, and we'll work our way right on from there as the Baptist Church moved from the first century to this century. Our heritage is important. And, you know, where we came from, a lot of people nowadays studying their family heritage, you know, and where they came from. Cookie said one time, that might be interesting to study our family history. And I said, Cookie, I said, we have enough horse thieves living without digging up the dead ones. I mean, you know, some places you just don't want to go. So, anyway, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank you, Lord, for the study of Baptist history. And God, as we work our way through this for weeks to come, Lord, I pray that you would just give wisdom and direction. Help us, Lord, to perk our interest in where we came from, why we are what we are, and whether it's right on with your distinctives. God, we pray that you'd bless and guide in the teaching and training of the Word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right.